Good evening. This is Joel Snyder, director of the American Council of the Blind's Audio Description Project. Welcome to the project's virtual conference and our celebration of the birth of our nation. In this brief program, I'll share with you just a bit about the history of Independence Day, followed by audio description of two videos. First, a stirring rendition of The Stars and Stripes Forever by the President's own Marine Band, presented in a formal performance on stage, and then fireworks as you listen to the final section of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, conducted by Jack Everly with the National Symphony Orchestra on the Mall in Washington, D.C. On July 3, 1776, John Adams, who went on to become the nation's first vice president and our second president, wrote in a letter to his wife, Abigail, "The second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable day in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. You will think me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory." Adams believed that July 2, 1776 would be the date to mark and celebrate forever our Declaration of Independence. July 2nd. Well, although the Second Continental Congress made its decree for freedom on July 2nd, no one signed the Declaration of Independence on that day. Eventually, the members of the Continental Congress put their names on this paper and risked losing everything if the British won the American Revolution. Even though the Americans won, some of these men suffered severely for supporting independence. Congress formally adopted the Declaration of Independence 2 days later, on July 4, 1776, and the alarm for freedom was sounded at Independence Hall with the Liberty Bell. Americans rejoiced as word spread throughout the newly declared independent states. Unfortunately, Americans were getting good and bad news at the same time. British troops were making landfall in New York as the Liberty Bell rang in Philadelphia. At that point, American and British forces already had been engaged in armed conflict for 15 months. On July 9, 1776, General George Washington, while concentrating his troops in New York City, ordered the Declaration of Independence read aloud to his men. He hoped that they would find new meaning in the war for independence. In 1777, the British occupied the capital city of Philadelphia, while Washington and his men struggled through a brutal winter at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Nearly 2,000 of Washington's 12,000 men died during that winter encampment. The Continental Army was hardened by the experience and gained even greater resolve in the campaign to defeat the British. For the next 4 years, Americans would fight battle after battle against the mightiest military on earth. Thanks to the military leadership of Washington and the combined efforts of the French Navy and Washington's good friend and ally, General Marquis de Lafayette, the British surrendered after the siege of Yorktown on October 19, 1781. The fight for independence was over. The Treaty of Paris, signed between the United States and Great Britain on September 3, 1783, made it official. The United States had become a sovereign and independent nation after 6 years of valor and sacrifice. And now, an audio-described presentation of the President's own Marine Band with John Philip Sousa's The Stars and Stripes Forever, taken from video of a stage performance. A red stage curtain parts to reveal the U.S. Marine Band in full dress uniforms. The conductor.
John Philip Sousa led the Marine Band to new heights of popularity during his tenure as leader from 1880 to 1892. It was during this era that he earned the title the March King, a well-deserved nickname that continues to this day. Of the 136 marches he composed, one has stood out above all the rest. It was composed in 1896 as Sousa sailed back home from a long European vacation. The inspiration for this march was born of a combination of homesickness, fond memories of his time as leader of the Marine Band, and his stirring recollection of the American flag flying over the White House. The resulting march became his best-known work, and in 1987, it officially became our national march. The Stars and Stripes Forever.
He turns to face the band. The conductor wears a black jacket adorned with gold brocade, braided coils, and medals. The percussion section. The brass section. Flutes and clarinets. Trombones. Snare and bass drums with cymbal, woodwinds, tuba. Clarinets. Bassoons and saxophones. A sweeping panorama of the full orchestra. A xylophone. Baritones, saxophones, and French horns. The clarinets. The xylophone player. Piccolo players stand. The conductor, baton in hand, swings his arms with wide flourishes. A row of seven trumpet players stands along with three trombonists. The conductor sweeps up both arms from his sides, and the members of the orchestra rise. The conductor turns to face us, baton in hand, as the curtain closes. And let's end our brief presentation this evening with fireworks and the National Symphony's thrilling version of the final section of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, complete with cannon and audio-described fireworks. Many thanks for being with us this evening, and I invite you to be a part of the range of sessions being sponsored by the Audio Description Project throughout the coming week. Conductor Everly, in a white jacket and black bow tie, faces the National Symphony members dressed in black slacks or skirts and short-sleeved shirts or blouses. Everly gestures broadly in rhythm to the music. French horns. A full brass section and then the entire orchestra. In the dim evening sky, red and white clusters of light explode around the obelisk pencil shape of the Washington Monument. Then, bright flares high over the Lincoln Memorial. White smoke erupts from cannon firing in front of red, white, and blue bunting. White peony-shaped spherical bursts of plumes near the top of the Washington Monument, with the Capitol building illuminated in the distance. Massive bursts of blue, orange, and white light up the sky. They explode in a spate of successive detonations. Balls of light sparkle and shimmer high above the nation's capital. Strips of white light streak upward to meet balls of sparks. More cannon fire ejecting clouds of white smoke. Central clusters of light emit tentacles of trailing beams. Red sparkles shoot upward on either side of the Washington Monument. Bursts of red and white sparks shower the scene. Amid additional cannon fire, the bursts in the sky now turn bright orange, yellow, and red. The circle-like explosions come in quick succession, blazing and blaring sparks and light in every direction. Cannon roar while pops of light erupt like firecrackers in the sky. Small boats in silhouette are laden with spectators as they float in the tidal basin with the columned Lincoln Memorial and the Capitol in the background. Multiple starbursts of white, red, and blue light streaming and streaking in symmetrical circles. From high above Washington, the explosions in the sky light up the reflecting pool leading to the Lincoln Memorial. Final bursts erupt around the Washington Monument.